hey, you are wildly capable of great things. So take a deep breath, let it out. You've got this. I want to tell you guys today about Brandlink Media, a female-owned digital agency with years of experience working with businesses in Oklahoma and beyond on their branding, web design, email marketing, copywriting, and more. Remember, you are wildly capable of great things, and Brandlink Media is cheering you on. Visit www.brandlinkmedia.com to schedule a free consultation. Link in our show notes. It is my pleasure to introduce Brittany Matlock, co-founder and CEO of Plenty Mercantile and a mom of two. Brittany, tell us about a few defining moments of your life.
Yes. So in 2011, I had a mental health crisis and ended up finding out it was the onset of bipolar one, which was traumatic at the time and then changed, could have drastically changed the course of my life. But because I had an amazing support system and primarily my mom, who is now my business partner, because I had her fighting for me. And honestly, because I also had the resources to find the help that I needed, I took it head on and had to drop out of school, but came back and graduated. And then we opened Plenty 6 months after graduation. So it was kind of a whirlwind, but definitely put my feet to the fire to see if, who I thought I was and what I thought was true was true. And it was, you just have to keep going and you can do harder things than you can imagine.
Yeah. So for those who don't live in OKC, do you want to tell us a little bit about Plenty? Because I know everyone in OKC probably knows what it is, but it's such a special place. So maybe you could describe it a little bit.
For sure. Thank you. So we will be 9 years old this month in just a few, next week, actually. So I started writing the business plan in college because I studied entrepreneurship. Graduated school. We opened it 6 months later. But Plenty is, the word plenty really embodies like that full feeling and not necessarily like plenty of stuff, though we have grown into that name. There is plenty of stuff. But we are a retailer and we source responsibly produced products. So that could mean it's either environmentally friendly or socially responsible in some way. None of the products we have are sustainably perfect in any way. That's just not really possible. But we are dedicated and committed to celebrating and supporting people making those difficult and often more expensive choices where they can, and then finding those options and that are economical to the consumer and bringing them to a local level.
Yeah, I love that. Everything in there seems to be local for the most part. I don't know if it's absolutely every item, but so many of the things are local to Oklahoma. So I love that.
Yeah. So we have eventually we would love for everything to be made in Oklahoma, but our mission is to support sustainability at large around the world. So we do have a made in Oklahoma section, but other than that, everything is made responsibly in some way. So a lot of it is made in America. That's for sure. And then we have an online, huge online business, online store. So you can shop from wherever you are. And then we have 3 metro locations here in Oklahoma City.
See, I didn't even know that. I only know your, Automobile Alley location, which is really large. So tell us, did you start with just a small storefront to begin with, like right out of school, or you went big from the beginning, huh?
We don't know how to start small. That would have been a good idea. No, we had never done retail. I mean, I had worked in a shop for a few months in college one summer, but I was also really, set on my academics, so I wasn't super involved in that way then. My mom and I joke that we have shopped a lot, and that is really our primary research and development. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we had never done this before, and we bit off a 6,800 square foot space with almost 4,000 of it being retail space. So yeah, that was a huge challenge. We had no idea what we were doing, and there was a ton of square feet to cover with product, with displays, with people. It was just, it was a lot. So I would recommend, if you're going to start a store, start smaller, because mm-hmm. That square footage really just compounds every single issue. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we started there on Automobile Alley 9 years ago. And then 5 years ago, we opened our second store at 15th and Bryant in Edmond. Okay. And it has all of the same products as the downtown store, as the flagship store. It's just arranged a little bit differently. And then we have a little micro shop over in Chisholm Creek by Topgolf. It's like all of our top sellers, and we rotate in new products. And then I didn't mention this before, but we also have our event venue attached to our flagship store downtown. So you can rent that for your own private gatherings. We also do workshops when COVID isn't wrecking things. So that will come back soon. And then we also have additional like tables and rentals and stuff you can add on to your event.
Amazing. Yes, there's been so many incredible events I've seen in your space. So tell us, you do a lot, you know, this being a mom of two and being a founder and running a huge store with multiple locations. Where do you go for fresh inspiration and to kind of refill your cup?
Yeah. So we all know social media can be a drain, and it certainly is. But it also is a huge force for good. Just like with business, our mission as a business is to use commerce for good, because so often it is used for bad, but because it has that huge propensity for bad, I mean, it also has the equal propensity for good. So I feel the same way about social media. I have to be really careful in setting boundaries and knowing when I'm just, you know, scrolling to avoid something else. But I do find a lot of inspiration because I'm able to connect with people from all over the world and able to find these big projects that have inspired me, and then their founders. And just, I'm really inspired by people who are extremely, not necessarily raw, but very real, and show the shadows of what those big shiny things cast. Because you know, so often Plenty, I think from an outside perspective, Plenty looks like this big, pretty, shiny store. And if you don't know, if you don't follow me on social media, you may not know that it is absolutely exhausting. And it takes so much work for it to look like that. And mm-hmm. that shininess casts shadows. And it makes, you know, I'm not with my children as much as I would like to be. I'm not at home as much as I would like to be. So finding people like that who encourage me to see past just the pretty parts and remember that some, you know, those things take sacrifices and there's compromises that come into play. And so, yeah, just seeing other people going for it and figuring it out as they do it. And then really anything by Brené Brown, like I can just turn on any of her books, and like if I'm preparing for a speech or any kind of thing, just the way that she phrases things and her boldness really encourages me to, it just kind of gets my wheels spinning and makes me feel like I could do anything.
I love that. I need to dive into more of her stuff, because I've heard a TED talk, but that's like all I've gotten to. Is it her podcast you usually listen to?
No, so I started with Dare to Lead. So if you're in business at all, whether you are in leadership for a company or you're running your own business, Dare to Lead is basically her book, Daring Greatly, applied to business. And because she runs her own business, she has her own, you know, writes her own books and does all of her own coordination. So that has really, really helped me just reframe things to where I can relate better to, you know, people in different circumstances. It also applies to, she talks a lot about how she helps raise, or obviously how she raises her family and how her husband helps raise her family. I just started Daring Greatly, which I think was one of her first ones. But Dare to Lead is where I started, and that has just blown my mind. I've listened to it like 6 times and I still hear new stuff every time. Highly recommend.
Wow. Amazing. So when you look at your future, what do you see?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I see a little more peace and calm. I can certainly see that we are in a much more calm state than we were, you know, when we started this 8 years ago, or even when I had my first child. I'm never going to say that I want to seek balance, because I just don't think it's possible. And that implies equal parts, and there's never an equal amount of parts in play. It's all about trade-off decisions. So I think when I think about the future, I think of more purposeful delegating, which I am getting better at, and realizing that there are people that are much better at things than I am. It's taken me a while to accept that, but finding those people and then empowering them to do things better than I could and work with me to get to those goals, I think will enable more of that peace and less hectic scrambling. Mm-hmm. And then my daughter is 18 months old, and I had her during, you know, right at the beginning of the pandemic in April of 2020. And she's just now, like yesterday, I was looking at our gallery wall in our house and kind of reworking a few pieces. And I was standing there with my arms crossed looking at the wall. And I looked over, and she's 18 months old, and she watched me and then folded her arms and looked up at the wall. Aww. And I was like, oh my gosh, wow. She's going to start really watching. And, you know, we have a 5-year-old son, and I see how he watches my husband and how he just wants to be a daddy when he grows up. That's his thing right now. So I look forward to my awareness of myself increasing in that way, because I know that that is going to affect her, hopefully positively. I have an incredibly strong, deep, intense relationship with my mom that I've learned a lot from. So I hope that I can be that for her.
That's amazing. You got me tearing up over here. What is your proudest moment so far in life? Another big one.
Another big one. So when I was a junior in high school, my family moved from Enid, Oklahoma to Edmond, Oklahoma in the middle of my junior year. So at Christmas break. And I know that sounds forever away, and it was high school, but that still is, you know, despite everything that's happened, that is still one of my proudest moments, because I got to decide how I was going to handle it and who I was going to be friends with, and if I was going to continue on kind of a crazy path, or if I was going to, you know, start getting my ducks in a row and start behaving in a way that was more aligned to who I was. And I chose that. And I still feel fueled from that, you know, 15 years later, that I was able to see what the options were and chose what was unfamiliar, but was good for me long-term. And then of course, the day I went back to school after I had to drop out from, my mental health crisis, I didn't know if I was going to get to go back at all. And Oklahoma State was wonderful and let me come back, and I graduated. And if I hadn't graduated, you know, that would have destroyed me, because I, you know, I had identified so much with being a star student and involved on campus and all of that. So that was a super proud moment. And then having my son, of course, and then in particular, having my second child, not because she's a girl or because she's my daughter, but because I learned so much from my first. With my first, I just expected it to just happen. Like, I just expected to just feel like a mom and feel these deep motherly instincts. And I just, from everything I had heard, I just thought it just was like a click of a button, and I expected that. And when it didn't happen, I was incredibly defeated and let down and confused and worried. Because I didn't feel those feelings, and I wanted to, but I had started plenty 5 years before I had kids, and those were still my babies. Like, the stores still felt like my children that also couldn't walk by themselves or talk by themselves. So I learned not quickly enough, though, that, just like with everything, at least in my situation, you have to put in what you want to get out. And you can't just wait for things to come to you. So once I realized that I was going to have to put the time in, you know, put my computer away, put my phone away, say that I'm not available for work, but whatever those things were that I just wasn't used to having to do, I was going to have to do those things to reap the benefit of those things and stop just expecting it. And so then with my second, I was so traumatized by that experience. I mean, it took 2 years for me to feel like those deep, intense moments of love with my son. Obviously I loved him, but I didn't feel that feeling that everybody talks about for so long. So with my second, I was determined from the moment before she was even here, that I was going to be more intentional and not waste any of those early moments that you don't get back. And again, I don't think it has anything to do with either of them or their gender or whatever. I think it has everything to do with, my mindset going in that it wasn't going to be easy. Like I thought it wasn't going to be just instinctual. So, I can say that has made me feel closer to my second from the very beginning, and also now closer even to both of them. So definitely super incredibly proud. I was able to see that correlation and then do better on the second. And that's my final baby. So I don't get another do-over. So I'm proud of that.
100 Magazine is a publication featuring 100 wildly capable women in Oklahoma City. Buy the magazine to read all 100 interviews at 100mag.com. Wildly Capable Woman podcast is produced by Sugar Free Media. You can check out our daily news podcast, News Du Jour, for a calmer space to consume the news. Music is by Joey Lavoie and Nicholas Foster. Please consider rating and reviewing this podcast if it meant something to you to help us reach other wildly capable women.